The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler on the George Show, 710 KNUS. Hour 3 of 4, 10 o'clock, we get replaced by Charlie Kirk. We go Dennis Prager, Gorka back to Live and Local at 3 o'clock with Stephen Tubbs. There is a conversation we started to have yesterday on our Education Wednesday show, really, where we talked about some of the efforts to try to correct what is this growing teacher gap here. And it's the loss of teachers to either other districts, other states, or the profession in general, retirements, attrition, all of those things have led to this big teacher gap. And something that had really been started before last year's election, at least in terms of a conversation, in a county that is not known for loving taxes or any sort of increases in government, that's Douglas County, my home county. They earlier this week at a school board vote 7-0 to put a couple things before the voters that say, hey, we'd like a little more of your money and we want to do certain things with it. Because it was unanimous on a board that has been divided, at least publicly, on some pretty big issues and some things early on that got a bunch of press. We were a little part of that, too. I am pleased to bring on board right now two of the big-time school board members, David Ray and Mike Peterson. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, George.
And hey, good morning, George.
Do me a favor, because you two sound like you're identical, and people are going to be like, nope, it's just David Ray using Mike Peterson's voice. When you talk, just say, hey, this is David, or I'll lead the question with David. But let's begin here for folks that don't know you. A very brief introduction. David, tell listeners who you are and your background that got you into the school board and all that stuff.
You bet, George. I've been in public education for over 30 years, served as teacher, as a principal, have been in Douglas County actually for most of those years. When I retired, I ran for the board and have been on the board now for almost seven going on 8 years. Served as the board president for four of those years. I am also a resident of Douglas County for many years, have two children that have gone through the Douglas County School District schools, and just have a real passion for public education.
David, what high schools did your kids graduate from?
Ponderosa High School.
Pondo, one of the originals. Yeah. That's an awesome school. That's just down the road from us. Yeah. That's fantastic.
You bet. Go Stang.
No, Jags. But nonetheless, Mike Peterson, Mike Peterson, tell us about your background.
Sure. My background is 25 years in the U.S. Navy. I flew both aircraft in both Top Gun movies. Did about 10 years in consulting after getting out of the Navy. Parent, first and foremost, became more interested in school board things than I was previously during the whole COVID hybrid remote learning stuff. Ran for the board last year, was elected in November. I have three daughters, one of which just graduated from the University of Delaware. I have another daughter who went up through Douglas County Schools, graduated from Castleview and went through the Bridge program. She has some special needs. And I still have a daughter who is an 11th grader this year. My wife also worked with effective needs students here in the district. Wow. Until our other daughter came home. So that's a bit of my background.
And you are now the board president of the school board.
That's correct. And David is the previous president who was termed out.
That's right. And there was a change in it's not really a Republican or Democrat thing because you run on a nonpartisan thing. But I think everybody knew who which party was endorsing which person. But it seems like the control has perceived to have shifted over in a if 4-3 is not the right math. Correct me. Is that about right?
Yeah, and it really is an issue thing. I mean, you saw the other night, just two nights ago, as you led off with, we voted 7-0. So where there are areas of consensus, We're certainly united, but there are certainly other areas where, you know, there may be some disagreements even now and going forward, but we're trying to do that respectfully.
Well, let's kumbaya this thing as much as we can. David, set the stage for how we got here to where you guys hugged it out at that board meeting on this issue of sending things to the voters to decide what they want to do about their teachers and safety and some other stuff.
Well, I think, as you said earlier, George, I mean, this has been something that's been our focus for many years. Douglas County is how do we make sure we've got the best possible employee in front of our students, and we know that that requires a focus on compensation. And as you said, we're in a county that typically resists tax increases, and certainly we've gone through some dry spells where we were not able to increase our local taxes to help out with public education. And so I think over time, there has been periods of time where, you know, we weren't able to maintain our buildings because we went through 12 years of not being able to pass a bond election that would help upgrade our buildings. And so I think where we got to this point was simply that we have spent a great deal of time trying to convince our voters that in order for us to have and maintain the kind of quality of education that Douglas County has come to be known for, that we have to put our money where our mouth is. And so this is really a compilation of just a continued focus on how do we make sure we retain our quality employees.
I was at back to school night last night for two of my kids who are at Rock Canyon, Go Jags, and I ran into one of the teachers there, and I'm a big fan of their teachers. And they said, I said, hey, you got to be excited. This thing's got this unanimous vote. It's on. And she said, honestly, not that excited. And in fact, you know, I'm considering this move. And I said, whoa, hang on. Don't you want to see how it turns out? Won't it be a benefit to you? And she said, here's where my skepticism comes from. The last bond measure that we had, and I can't remember, David, if it was an MLO thing, a mill levy override or something else. She's like, you know, at the end of the day, you know what my pay increased by? $300. She said, I can make so much more than that in Cherry Creek or in some of these other school districts. And I said, pretty please don't leave. I mean, we love you here. Please stay here so my kids get the benefit of you. First off, when did we pass that last, I don't know if it was a bond measure or MLO, but when did we pass that? And what do you say to teachers who are like, I'm not jazzed about what happened last time. Why should I be jazzed about this time?
Yeah, it was both a bond and an MLO in 2018 that we passed. And quite frankly, it was every dollar that was collected from that was utilized exactly as we said it would be. We inherited a compensation system that was absolutely chaotic at best. And what we said we would do in 2018 is we would stop the bleeding with that compensation system to really take care of some pay gaps. So teachers that were desperately out of whack in terms of what they should have been paid based on their years of experience and their education, we were able to, with that 2018 bond, to close that gap so that they were paid fairly to their colleagues. So when you hear a teacher say, you know, I received $300, well, that's not true, because every year we have provided at least a 3.5% raise to everyone. But at the same time, that 2018 bond was, or mill levy, was for the purpose of closing pay gaps, for the purposes of putting a counselor in every elementary school, for the purpose of making sure that all our buildings were being updated so that we didn't have to close them for maintenance concerns. So the 2018 bond was spent exactly as it was intended. And I think if you were to talk to our citizen group that makes up our oversight for the mill and the bond, you would hear tremendous evidence about how that was done and the incredible benefits that our students are reaping because of it.
Mike Peterson, when you look at these two different measures, the MLO and the bond, can you first off describe what it does to a taxpayer's bottom line, how it will impact them? But two, what do you tell the community about how this will increase teachers' pay? And I know there's school safety stuff in there, too, and you can talk about that. I mean, give us a better understanding of exactly what's going to show up on the ballot.
Yeah, absolutely. And the first thing is to separate what an MLO, a mill levy override, is and what a bond is. mill levy override is for programmatics and compensation. And when we voted on Tuesday night 7-0, we actually voted in three measures. Going back to your previous question to David, we voted on the mill levy override language, we voted on the bond language, and we also handcuffed ourselves as a board. We voted in preemptively, should the mill levy override pass, exactly what the step in lane or the pay scale that our teachers are receiving would be. So to David's point, the average pay raise for our teachers is 9%, and it's not just, a nebulous 9%. Teachers can go in based on what we voted on Tuesday night, look at their current cell in that step in lane chart, then they can look at a post MLO approval cell and know exactly what it would be. And I'll tell you, it's nowhere near $3,000. It's significant. But an MLO is for programmatics and for compensation. That is separate from the bond issue. The bond issue is for capital expenses, and we receive no money from the state or other sources. It's really contemplated that local communities will fund school construction, school maintenance, and other capital costs. Think infrastructure, things like school buses. And we have some school buses that are over 300,000 miles on them. So those two issues are separate. To your other question, how does this work out in terms of fees? The bond is actually tax neutral. We have the bond from 2018, which is phasing out and stepping down and stepping down. And if we were to pass this bond, it would simply fill in those steps. So as the old bond steps down, the new bond fills in and steps in, and there would be no tax increase relative to the bond if the bond measure passes. And that bond builds three new elementary schools in areas of need, rehabs two middle schools to add an extra grade to give some other relief to those communities, and does a whole variety of things, including transportation, also looks at things like special education needs, rehabbing playgrounds, more special education transportation buses, and a bunch of things. So those two are vastly different.
We're talking with Mike Peterson, president of the Douglas County School Board, and David Ray, past president of the Douglas County School Board, both members who voted along with the rest of the school board to advance these matters to the ballot. David, does it apply to charter schools as well? And I'm asking as a parent who, you know, our kids all go to the neighborhood middle school and high school, but we all started them at Platte River Academy, which we love. Great charter school. Sure. Do they get the benefit of this too?
Absolutely. And that's something actually that we started in 2018 as far as bond proceeds. That was the first year in Douglas County's history that we actually shared some of the bond proceeds with our charters. And it's something to the tune of $15.5 million right now. And then also the MLO, several years ago, it was just agreed that whatever MLO increase we would pass on to our charters as well. So that $943 per student that MLO would provide would also be passed on to the charters for their use to ensure that they're able to compensate teachers appropriately. So absolutely our charters are included.
Is it in equal amounts? Do they get treated differently than what the neighborhood schools, the other public schools get?
It's an equal amount. $943 per student is what the MLO would provide for every student in Douglas County.
One of the criticisms that I've heard and read about online, and I was going to ask you, Mike, about this too, but David, I'll stay with you on this one, is about the charter school thing. It was that there are two charter schools in Douglas County, Ascent and CEC, which is a bunch of letters that I don't know what they stand for. I imagine the E is excellence, but I don't know. CEC, that are excluded from enjoying the benefits of this, even though those 2,000 families are going to be taxed as well. What's going on there?
Well, CEC is Colorado Early College.
Oh, Early. Dang it.
Yeah. Sorry. They're CSI schools, George. They're not.
What's CSI?
School District charter schools. So they're state-authorized schools. They're schools that came to Douglas County to ask, can we be authorized by somebody, by the state authorizer instead of Douglas County? And we granted them permission to do that. And so when you do that, you basically are removing yourself out from under the umbrella of the Douglas County School District and putting yourself under a different umbrella, which is CSI, or the Colorado State Institute for Authorizing Charter Schools. So basically, that's the issue. It's not that we're excluding them by no means. If they were under the Douglas County School District umbrella, they would be receiving the proceeds from an MLO just like anyone, any other Douglas County School District charter school. It's just that they're not a Douglas County School District charter school. They're not under our authority. And we have to be stewards of the money that are given to Douglas County School District. We can't be stewards of the money that CSI is giving to their schools or their schools that they authorize.
And what I understand from what I've read is that the CSI folks, the Colorado folks, have said, listen, we'll figure out a way to give you oversight over this money and all that other stuff. Is that not enough? And I think it's weird. I didn't know this. I think it's weird for people to conceive of schools located in Douglas County funded by taxpayer dollars, including those residents, but they're like, hey, it's not Douglas County taxpayer money that's going to fund them. Is that true? Douglas County taxpayer money doesn't fund those schools?
I'll defer to him. I'll let Mike chime in on that. I don't want to dominate the conversation.
Mike, what's going on with those two charter schools in this way? And again, I don't understand how the system is set up that because they're administered, if that's the right word, or they're under someone's umbrella, how did they get excluded from it? And I'm asking from the standpoint of you're going to have to, and my question to you is going to be, how do you sell this to Douglas County, largely Republican, largely conservative taxpayers? How do you sell this to them? And especially to the 2,000 families that are like, well, wait a minute, we're going to pay more, but we get nothing for our kids.
Yeah, sure. I mentioned the bond being cost neutral. The MLO is very modest. The way the mill levy override works is it's $1 per week for $100,000 of home evaluation. So if you do the math, for a $500,000 home in Douglas County, that works out to be $255 per year, and that would fund both the bond and MLO. So that's what the cost is for taxpayers if both measures should pass. Relative to our CSI authorized schools, so CSI is an authorizer, right? They are ones, the state agency, which is the Charter School Institute at the state level, basically authorizes and oversees those two schools. And it's not just those two schools. There are CSI schools throughout Colorado. It's kind of a de facto large geographic school district of its own with schools all over Colorado that don't report to the local school districts. They report to the state entity. And if you look at a great piece of legislation that was attached to Tuesday night's meeting, and it's House Bill 17-1375. It's a bill that was passed and signed into law. And it's a great bill because it's what discusses mill levy override distribution to schools. And what the state legislature did is they said, as David accurately portrayed, if you run a mill levy override, that money must be broken up between your district operated schools, also known as neighborhood public schools, and your district authorized schools, also known as our public authorized charter schools. But they did do a complete set aside. There is an entire separate fund for CSI schools to kind of offset the fact that they don't get mill levy override dollars from local elections. And it is the General Assembly, i.e. our legislators, that are supposed to take care of those schools and adequately fund that mechanism. I have personally called a couple of our representatives over the last few days, and I'm talking to candidates, and to a man or woman, each one of them has said, you're right, Mike, this is our issue of our making. We set up a mechanism to fund the CSI schools up in Denver at the Capitol, and we need to do a better job. So I'm going to continue as one director to push our legislators to fix that system and fund our CSI schools here in Douglas County and across the state to an adequate level. But why I cast my vote for these measures the other night is because Douglas County, and specifically our 7-member school board, only has accountability and oversight of dollars that stay in our district.
To be clear, though, the law doesn't preclude you from including them in it. It's just that they're saying, hey, we have a vehicle to take care of it. I mean, is the law saying you cannot let them benefit from the MLO and the bond, or is it just, hey, the state said they're going to take care of it, so we're going to do our thing?
Yeah, it's the latter. The state said, we will take care of these schools, we will fund them. And that's what I'm expecting the state to do in this case.
When you have already started to have conversations out there, what pushback have you received from those who are super skeptical of adding any taxes to their bottom line or growing government at all? What have they told you?
Yeah, and I Well, first of all, there's some general skepticism about, well, we're Douglas County. We're very affluent. We're relatively prosperous here. I can't believe that schools aren't funded, in fact, in excess of other districts. And there's a general misunderstanding about how the School Finance Act works. It's really based generally on pupil count, how many students attend your public schools. Right. There's some slight adjustments in the formula for students with special needs, free and reduced lunch, and some other things. But in general, school districts get a set amount of money, a maximum amount of money through the School Finance Act based on pupil count. And that includes those CSI schools. Taxpayers pay into that School Finance Act amount, and then the state equalization fund comes and tops you off. So taxpayer dollars are going to our CSI schools and to all our public schools in Douglas County. And when people actually understand how schools are funded and that Douglas County's prosperity has nothing to do with the level of funding of our schools, and they understand the deficit that we've been in, we pay $18,000 less on average than Cherry Creek, and our students get almost $2,000 less per pupil revenue because of the disparities in our current mill levy overrides. Once they understand the math and the funding, people generally that come in skeptical are actually pro both of these measures.
I will say this too, having gone to that back to school night last night, Brad Abner, a great, great principal and former member of that superintendent's office. Andy put up on the slide there in front of all the parents, the like SAT rankings, based on, you know, scores based on the high schools. And of course the number one Douglas County high school was of course Rock Canyon, and it was third in the state only behind Cherry Creek. And if I can get number three, and $18,000 per student is what it takes to get to number two, I'm happy to be number three. I have been supportive of the 2018 MLO and bond thing. I'm likely to be supportive of this one too, just because I'm living here. I'm consuming it. I see good teachers moving on. In fact, brothers of my best friend growing up, that concerns me, and I want to end that trend. But that's not the only reason these things exist on the ballot. David, talk about the school safety stuff that you guys are trying to get done.
You bet. I mean, I think, we're really proud of the work we've already done with our security department. We've got an incredible director of security. Really have had two incredible directors of security for the past several years who have, really had made sure that Douglas County is one of the safest school districts in the nation. Certainly the 2018, we certainly allocated dollars to do a lot of things like hardening our buildings, putting in cameras. I mean, just all those kind of security tools that it takes to ensure that our students are safe. And again, we're continuing that trend with this bond to, again, continue to upgrade our buildings with the best security tools they can possibly have to ensure the students are safe. So that includes things like radios, making sure that we have direct access to our law enforcement agencies, making sure that we have locks that we can lock at a moment's notice to secure our facilities if needed. So that continues to be our focus, or continues to be one of the focus in the current bond proposal.
David Ray, former president of the Douglas County School Board, and Mike Peterson, president of the Douglas County School Board. This is kind of unprecedented. I don't know how many 7-0 bond measures, MLOs, that we've had in the history of Douglas County, but this is impressive. I will ask you, as we continue down this road, the other things that you're hearing, and then we'll talk about what happens in the future. And I can't ask you this now because we're out of time. I wonder if this thing is successful, if other school districts don't look and go, well, wait a minute. If these guys can get it done in Douglas County, my God, we can certainly get it done here, there, and everywhere else. I wonder if this wouldn't be something that other school districts look to as an example. But appreciate you guys working together on this thing. We'll continue to have conversations that they develop. Thanks for giving us some of your time.
You bet. Thanks, George.
Thanks, George.
Yep. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, David. Hey, before we cut away, we're talking about education here. If you want to get educated on what to do with your home, you're on the fence about, is now the time to sell? Is now the time to buy? The best person to go to get educated is a public school product that grew up right here in the metro area, and that's our friend Gay Ribble with Empower Home Team of Keller Williams Realty, DTC. Jeffco Kid, just like the guy you're listening to right now, I'm a Bear Creek product. She went up in Arvada. I cannot remember which high school, if it was A West, Arvada, or Pomona. That was all before the Stanley Lake stuff and all that other stuff, that Ralston Valley, all before those existed. She's been there forever. She's been doing this for a long time. She's an expert and put her expertise to use. But do this also. Rely upon the thing that makes her different than other realtors, and that is her willingness to put in writing certain guarantees that they just won't, such as the promise to sell your home at 100% of its asking price, or she'll pay you the difference in cash. She can do it because she's got all the buyers out there, 15,000 plus in her buyers in waiting program. She is an expert at finding also the listed, that's the easy one, but also the unlisted properties that no one else has. You get in early, you make the best bid, you walk away with your dream home. Buying your dream home and selling your current home starts by calling Gay Ribble. You can call her at Empower Home Team and the whole Empower Home Team at 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. Or you can visit her at gayhasthebuyers.com. That's Gay, G-A-Y-E is how we spell it, gayhasthebuyers.com. When we come back, we'll start it all up again with you, me, 303-696-1971. George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Sounds like it's all 80s bumper music today, which is A-OK with me, George Brockler, back with you here at 710 KNUS on The George Show. My thanks to Mike Peterson and David Ray from the Douglas County School Board. I'm sure they're going to have future disagreements, but they are in agreement on that one issue about putting this bond measure and this MLO, this mill levy override, which is the way to tax homeowners, landowners too, to fund schools, not just the safety thing, but the teacher pay thing. It'll be interesting to see. I want to read the details of it. I said to them, and I'd tell you, I'm likely to support it, not because I'm very pro-tax. I'm not. I'm not a big tax guy or grow the government guy, but I've seen firsthand good teachers take off from our schools, the schools that we send our kids to. I like our teachers, by and large, and I've asked them why, and they've said that they have moved on largely because of one, climate. And I think what they mean by that is just lack of financial support for the teachers. And then the money piece, which kind of goes hand in glove with that. It's an interesting dynamic and one that I'd love to see ended. I don't want to lose any more good teachers to Cherry Creek. It's not that Cherry Creek isn't a great school district. I like those guys too, but I don't live there. So I don't care about you the way I care about the Douglas County School District. And I know you get that, right? Like, it's where you live that matters most. And where I live is a place called Douglas County. Still got the kids here's one. It's just about the school security thing. I think Johnny Grusing, formerly of the FBI, retired FBI guy, is the head of security. And then Rich Payne, I think, is the prior one that they were referring to. Lots going on there in Douglas County with the school security stuff. And I know that mostly because of the aftermath of what took place at the STEM school. The charter school thing, interesting to me. Because when someone reached out and said, hey, you ought to read this, you ought to read this thing too, it is weird to me that parents of a charter school in Douglas County would be taxed and pay but not get the benefit of anything that they're paying for. My guess is those 2,000 families are likely to not support this because it does nothing for their kids that are in public school. There's got to be something done about that. It just doesn't seem fair. And maybe the state ought to step in. I appreciate Mike's willingness to want to go to the legislature and fix all that stuff. Now, I want to talk about a topic that really had caught traction earlier, and that is, and by the way, I should tell you, it has been confirmed, at least early on in the 8 o'clock hour, that the aforementioned Amanda will be in the studio at 9 o'clock. She will do her last in-studio show with us for, I don't know, it could be forever. Maybe she'll return when she has kids or something, but it could be forever. I hope not. But she's going to come in, and I'm going to talk to her about this topic too, but I want to start the conversation with you, and that is about this South High School viewing of this video that was produced by, I can't remember the name of the group, but the administration made the decision to expose 1,700 South High School, that's a public school paid for by public taxpayer dollars, expose them to a video that was designed to address how do you respond to a racist incident or a transphobic incident. And I thought that was really interesting too. Not homophobic, not LGBTQ phobic, but transphobic. And so this video begins in a public school in America where kids are sent to learn and honor and respect their teachers and the information that's provided with this very pro-America uplifting beginning.
The United States has a long history of violence against people of color, disabled people, Muslims, immigrants, and LGBTQ people. In our current political moment, white supremacists and white nationalists have been emboldened. And as a result, public attacks are on the rise.
Yeah. That's it, folks. That's how it begins. That's how this video that 1,700 can't go anywhere else captured students. That's how it begins, with a long history of violence towards these different aggrieved groups. Now, no reference to the fact that, hey, we're in the greatest country on the planet Earth, and we've done more to erase the divisions between genders and races and cultural groups than any country in the history of the world. Now, no reference to that, just we have a long history of violence. And by the way, white supremacists are everywhere. That part is only mildly offensive. The most offensive and concerning, I mean, truly concerning from a public safety standpoint, is that there are six steps given to what should you do if you're exposed to or you're witness to this racist or transphobic attack. And some of them are like, give the person comfort, give them water, make eye contact with them, don't engage the bad guy or whatever it is. Don't engage the, apparently it's just a white supremacist that can engage in these racial attacks, because as you know, people of color, and that's how they're defined throughout this video, they do not engage in racism. They can't racially attack people. Those things that happened on the 16th Street Mall where white people were being jumped by African-American groups, gang members down there, that did not happen. That is not real. That was all made up years ago. It wasn't real. This is the part that's the most concerning. Step four, and it's recommended, what can I do? This is how it begins.
Armed police presence often escalates rather than reduces the risk of violence in a situation. Because police have been trained to see people of color, gender nonconforming folks, and Muslims as criminals, they often treat victims as perpetrators of violence. So if the victim hasn't asked you to call the police, do not, I repeat, do not call the police.
What? What in the hell are you talking about? I mean, from a practical standpoint, you're going to require a person to not ask for the intervention of law enforcement, who has a monopoly on the use of force in situations like this, by the way, the legal use of force, short of self-defense. You're not going to use them unless the victim, who may be cowering in the corner, they may be face down unconscious, they may be in the middle of a beating. Unless they can somehow gurgle out through their teeth and blood, call the police. You do nothing. You do nothing. Does that make any sense at all? And then the other thing that you should know is this video, it's not just an audio track. There's a video to it. The scenes behind the video as they're saying this garbage about cops. It also has a sign where it says, we're not going to feed the prison system. We want to end the prison system. What? And that language, did you hear that language? It's that law enforcement not only escalate the violence when they come out there, and that's exactly why people call 911, by the way. They're in danger, they're afraid for their lives or their safety, and they call the police because they know that police will escalate the violence. Nope. But then it says they are trained. They are trained to see people of color and transgendered LGBTQP plus people as criminals. They're trained to see them as criminals. Where was the quality control on the review of this garbage script before it was rolled out? Not that, hey, cops can be racist. That could happen for sure. We've seen that. Cops can make mistakes. Cops can engage in behavior that can, of course, but not that they brought it with them in their hearts or their experiences, or my gosh, they just made a mistake. They're trained. They're trained to see people. I dare you to prove that. Show me the training within the last 20 years that trains police to see people of color and members of the LGBTQ plus community. That's the most crack smoke crazy thing I've ever heard. But that's in there, and it's in a video that somebody spent money to make. It's very professionally done. And then somebody at South High School said, let's show that to our kids. not just kids who are on the street right now, some of whom may be the victims of crime, whether it's race-based or otherwise, but who are future voters, future citizens. And these folks are being counseled with the credibility, if any exists anymore, of the school administration to not trust police because they are trained racists. Trained racists. What is going on? And then there's a statement that comes out from the administration, and it's like, oops, we didn't intend it to be that way. And therefore, please don't hold us accountable. Can you imagine the hypocrisy there? Remember, if you're in any other setting and you trigger someone with unintentionally, you say something that the other person perceives as racist, as gendered, as sexual oriented, as whatever you want it to be, you are wrong. Intention is irrelevant. But here, when we've taken a video that I presume they watched before they made 1,700 captive students watch it themselves, they saw this and heard that language. They had to have approved this. Their intention is irrelevant. And then this is almost inexplicable, too. There's a member, a sergeant of an organization called the Denver Black Police Officers Organization, Sergeant Carla Havard, H-A-V-A-R-D. Here's a quote that she gave in a statement issued to Denver 7. Quote, it's evident that the intent of sharing this video was not to drive a wedge between groups who are working towards change. What the hell is a group working towards change? I presume she means the police department. What kind of change? If the change isn't ending crime, it's not the right kind of change, right? Nobody hires cops to do anything other than end crime, address crime, hold criminals accountable. They're not social workers. So I don't know what change they think they're working towards there, but this video is absolutely designed. That segment is designed to drive a wedge between the community and police. That is the intent of it. You cannot tell me, and this, by the way, tells you how incredibly scared and woke law enforcement, especially in Denver, has become to the community. They won't even call this out for the BS that it is. It is offensive. It is demonstrably wrong. It shouldn't just be apologized for. It should be withdrawn, decried, and never, ever displayed again in the city of Denver. Or hell, in the state of Colorado. But they don't do that. They say, oh, it's okay. We get it. They made a mistake. It's obvious the intent of calling police trained racists and saying that we're out there escalating violence wasn't to drive a wedge between organizations focused on change. Come on, man. Call this for what it is. It is wrong. It is wrong now. It will be wrong in the future. This is not something that kids should be exposed to. You might want to put it on the internet, let them serve, but to call a school assembly, 1,700 students get exposed to this garbage and then sent out into the community, into a community ravaged by crime, by the way. The crime tsunami is real. And these are the folks sending out a video that says, as you're drowning in the crime tsunami, do not ask for a life preserver from these people in boats. Those people are racists. You should swim and tread water on your own. Come on, man. There is something rotten in DPS here, and this is just one small part of it. I mean, you can start with the Tay Anderson stuff, kicking the cops out of school, but then to vilify them in a video. I'd love to hear Tay Anderson's take on this segment of the video. I'd love to hear what Tay-Tay says about this. Is he supportive of it? Does he disagree with it? Is it an oops, didn't mean it? Can't hold it against me if I didn't mean it. What exactly is his position and the school board's position on this? Because it is wrong. Someone's got to be held accountable for displaying this, right? Had somebody displayed a pro-KKK video in front of these kids, you know that people would be setting themselves on fire and winging themselves out of the city and county building. But when it comes to decrying the police and calling them trained racists, what do we hear? I'm so sorry. And the police response, not from official DPD, but from these police organizations is, well, we know they're not trying to do bad stuff. I don't know, folks. Hey, listen, let me tell you about a superhuman out there, Mitch Floria. Mitch Floria has started theartofgranite.com, and if you're in the market to try to upgrade the interior of your home, and specifically that place where everybody gathers, that's upgrading the kitchen with that huge kitchen counter that you have, and you want to make your house look more modern, more welcoming, just overall better. Heck, how about your bathroom? How about the master bathroom, any of the bathrooms, the countertops there? Mitch Floria is the guy to go to, and you can go to theartofgranite.com. That's a great place to start, but you got to hop in that car, drive out there to about the corner of 6th Avenue and I-70, go visit the showroom. Check out all the stuff that he has available right there. It'll give you a great idea of what this wizard can do. He's not just an expert in this field. He's a craftsman. What he can do with the man-made stuff, the God-made stuff, whether it's quartz, granite, marble, he can do it. He's done it before. I've got friends that text me when I started advertising for Mitch, and they're like, we love this guy. This is out in Franktown. Love this guy. Did wonderful stuff for our homes. You can schedule a consultation with Mitch. Call him at this number. It rings the phone on his hip or in his pocket or wherever he keeps it. 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. Visit that website at theartofgranite.com, but do yourself a favor. Go visit him, and if you do, my guess is about 95% chance you close the deal right then and there. Long-term staff, this isn't a turnover mill for employees. These are folks that know their business. They know what you need. They can help you get what you want. Mitch Floria at the Art of Granite, artofgranite.com. When we come back, you, me, some texts that have been coming in, 303-696-1971, the number. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here, a little outfield, 710 KNUS. I'll be with you until 10 o'clock in the 9 o'clock hour. And in studio right now is the aforementioned Amanda, worked her last shift last night at Perry's. I don't know if I bring you on early or not. We can certainly do that. You know what? I'm going to turn it on. I'm going to throw caution to the wind here.
Oh, I turned my own mic on. I'm taking over.
Go figure. Amanda, one of the things I was telling you about in the off time there when we weren't on the air was about this video that was played. I know you're unaware of it because you didn't even listen to the show on the drive up here in order to prepare for your segment, which makes total sense.
I really only listened to this part.
The part that you're like, on. You re-listen to the part you're on, but not the part
where
it's
just
in.
I feel like I can speak for most people if this is the best segment of the show.
Thank you for coming in, Amanda. I will let you know how the 9 o'clock hour goes. It sounds like you've had the one moment you're going to make a ringtone or something. But there's this video that was played at Denver Public School, South High School, that was 1,700 kids were brought into this room and exposed to this video that in part decried police as trained racists and they shouldn't be called in need for racist or transphobic attacks, because they tend to escalate violence. Their presence escalates violence. And I'm going to ask you about that in the 9 o'clock, but we've gotten some text here. Here's some folks. I made a comment about the 16th Street Mall. Back in the day, not that long ago, remember when Hickenlooper was the mayor, there were these racist attacks, African-Americans on white people down there in the 16th Street Mall. Those numbers were buried and kept from the public. And then when they were finally released, it was like, oh, what are you talking about? Now someone texts in, now when you go to the 16th Street Mall, you can smell the BO-like odor of fentanyl, probably caused by fentanyl. Here's one, libs don't care, ends will always justify the means. It's really a shame our country has become so weak-minded to blindly nod along to all this. Very sad. History is determined. This won't end well. I agree. I'm glad you're in the studio, Amanda. I got to quickly, though, do this. I got to tell you about Twin Aspen Dental Center. They're down located just south of where the house is right now, right off of Stroh Road by Lehman Academy, Drs. Richter and Snyder. I'd love to get you in there when you're in town and have them take a look into that mouth and see what's going on with those threshers. We'll talk about what summer teeth means later, but they can do it all. They can do the bridges, the implants, but they're really good at the preventative stuff. I love them. We're going to get them back in the studio here. I'm going in next month to have my teeth cleaned and checked by them. I'll let you know how that experience goes. Still trying to figure out a way to do a remote with those kinds of tools in my mouth. We just don't know if that's going to work out. Visit TwinAspenDentalCenter.com, TwinAspenDentalCenter.com. Call them at 303-841-7466, 303-841-7466. I love these folks and trust them. You ought to as well. When we come back, Amanda, in studio, unplugged, George Show, 710 KNUS.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.